Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Jan Panzer, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Visora, a provider of high-performance generative AI and ADAS chip solutions based in France. Mr. Panzer gained extensive experience in the semiconductor, IP, and software industry through building and managing organizations around the globe. Previous experience includes executive positions at Ericsson, Cypress, and ST Microelectronics. Welcome to the podcast, Jan.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
First, let me ask how you got started in semiconductors. Do you have an interesting story to tell?
I have a long story to tell. I've been in the industry for a very, very long time. I started off with Cypress Semiconductor when Cypress just became noted on the stock exchange in the mid-80s. So that will tell you how old I am. I've worked in startups pretty much all my life around the world, mainly in the commercial roles, senior executive roles. And we sold the company I was working at in Boston, and that led me to come to another company in France, in Paris. The company was called Dibcom. And Dibcom is the precursor to Visora. So that leads me to where I am right now. Visora is Dibcom 2.0. What, as you were saying in the introduction, what are we doing? We're doing high-performance AI and DSP solutions. Actually, I would say high-performance AI solutions, because the border between AI and DSP is gray. We started off as a silicon IP provider, specifically on DSPs. But as AI evolved and as we started working very extensively with the automotive industry, we found very quickly that it would make sense for us to go and become what we used to be, which is a fabless semiconductor manufacturer. So today we provide high-performance AI chips for generative AI and for autonomous driving. In reality, these are all platforms. They are companionships working together with some sort of a central compute unit, a central processor. And we are completely agnostic when it comes to algorithms, when it comes to host processor. So just because we started in Gen AI and automotive doesn't mean it will not work in other areas as well. But what's interesting, though, is really what's happening on the generative AI market today. So just a quick note about what we are doing. We provide solutions with a compute power up to 6.4 petaflops. In a single package, which is probably higher than anyone else in the world right now.
Wow, yeah, that is big. So in your opinion, from your point of view, where are the biggest market opportunities today?
Well, as I was starting to say, generative AI, everyone talks generative AI. And I think the general consensus is 2024 will be the year of Gen AI. Generative AI can grow, it's actually today limited by a few elements on the growth point of view. One of the primary elements is availability of hardware. When people talk generative AI, there's an almost exclusive focus on the software side of things. And people tend to overlook that there's a need to actually have hardware that can supply the necessary compute and latencies that are required for a generative AI. We believe that the training challenge has been solved. I mean, it doesn't matter if it takes another 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks to complete the training, and that might cost a not insignificant amount of money to do. But the real challenge is when you start deploying it. How can you get the latency which is low enough to be acceptable? How can you get the power consumption, which is low enough to be acceptable? And that's a real challenge. It's a challenge when you start looking at it from a search perspective. McKinsey did a study about a year ago looking at the Google searches in 2022. And we're looking at about 100,000 searches per second. And the cost they came up with for a search, for a query with Google is 0.2 cents per query. Now, when OpenAI launched, more or less, well, it's a bit a year and a half ago, they took off like mad. But all of a sudden, it trailed off. They're sort of hovering around 1.6 billion, I think, visitors per month. And the reason for that is the limitation in the hardware that's underlying this. What are the limitations, one might ask? The limitation is really in how can you handle the huge amount of data that you need to handle in large LLMs. I mean, if we take ChatGPT as an example, GPT 3.5, which is the most commonly used today, has about 175 billion parameters. GPT as such is not a very complex algorithm. It's based around transformers, but it's based around incremental transformers, which means you need to keep track of your states as well. So the amount of data that you handle is immense. Now, when you go to GPT-4, we multiply the parameters by 10. So there's about 1.8 trillion parameters that needs to be handled. And if you start analyzing the hardware availability on the market today, you will find that the hardware is not capable of really dealing with this. There are ways that people try to get around this by limiting the LLMs, by making them smaller and more focused. For generic searches, you have the multitude of experts, but they're all sort of trying to avoid the real problem here, and that is going back to the hardware. Just as an example, if you do the exercise of trying to roll out a system based around the, I would say, the only thing that's on the market today, the NVIDIA H100 or the DGX H100. If you want to roll that one out and have the ability to handle about 100,000 queries per second, you need in the range of 1.8 million DGXs. So you're looking at a trillion plus of investment, which is, in reality, no one's going to do that at this point. But the bad thing is the query cost still ends up being about 10 cents. And this is just the hardware. And it does not take into consideration the power consumption. So on the one hand, we have a huge, massive opportunity. I was saying we were in automotive as well. Automotive today, self-driving vehicles are limited by the same factor. The hardware is hardware compute is not capable of providing the compute power required in order to be able to handle the data around it. So if you can find a way to solve the hardware, the sky's the limit.
I'd like to actually hear a little bit more about autonomous driving, your ADAS solution. So what are the challenges with autonomous driving? It still seems like it's in its infancy, right? So where are we going?
It's slowly coming. I mean, first of all, automotive is always slower than some of the other sectors in the market. It takes a long time for people to plan the functionality. There are a couple of major challenges. I was just talking about one of them, which is the key challenge here, is how can you get a compute power that provides you a solution which is low cost, low power, and can do all of the data processing that is required. There's also other things like legislation, etc., but that is beyond our ability to affect at this point. It's more a question of can we enable these vehicles today. If you look at higher levels of autonomy, level 3 and above, actually level 3, let's say, it's limited to deployment in the luxury segment. To make autonomous vehicles truly stand out, you need to find a way to have this deployed into the mid-tier and even the entry level. And there are plans to do this. And the challenge is, again, how can you do the compute here? What do I mean with the compute? Well, a level 4 vehicle autonomous vehicle should have the ability to act in traffic in a scenario just like a human driver would do in the same situation. So that's a pretty extensive set of challenges that we're talking about. Context is very important. So how do we go about doing that? Well, we go about doing that by having a huge number of sensors. 70 sensors is what typically we talk about today. That's a combination of cameras, LiDAR, radars, ultrasonic and others. These are all providing data that needs to be combined and analyzed. And the analysis will give you or give the vehicle an understanding of the environment it's traversing. So the challenge for the vehicle is to go from point A to point B in a safe way that meets all of the traffic requirements and handles all of the obstacles that may pop up during the transit. The sensors today have a typical cycle time of about 30 milliseconds, and you will have to go through understanding of the environment, so the perception phase. Then from the perception, you need to take decision, and from the decision, you need to execute. All of this need to happen in less than 30 milliseconds. Actually, you need to have a few milliseconds of margin in case something goes wrong, which inevitably something will go wrong at one time or another. So that leaves 20 milliseconds to handle all the data from all the sensors. And today, you do not have a solution that can do that. And that is the key thing why the rollout of autonomous vehicles have been slower than expected. There's a lot of activity going on in this area and different ways of trying to find this. So let's assume we can find a way to get the compute power in place. The second challenge is how can you get it cost effective? You need to make sure that it doesn't draw a lot of power. More and more vehicles today are electrified. Although you may talk to other people saying that there's a slowdown in the electrification. Reality is that if you look around yourself, you will see a huge amount of electrical vehicles today that were not on the road just a few years ago. And if you have a system that handles the driving, the safety elements here, that consumes a lot of power, it will have a direct impact in the mileage you can get from an electrical vehicle. So it's obviously you need to do that. The other thing is you need to avoid having also all kinds of esoteric coolings. Today, people are talking about liquid cooling because we're talking kilowatt power consumption for the central compute unit in the autonomous vehicles. That needs to be changed. You need to have it simple. You need to have it reliable long term. But it's interesting. Also, with generative AI exploding, generative AI is going to move into and has to some extent moved into the autonomous driving area as well, which is good because context awareness is really critical here. You know, as a human, you would respond differently to a statement depending on or a question, depending on how the statement or the question was posed to you, or the context of that. Similarly, in a vehicle, you need to have the ability to act depending on the context. The same road may look different at night, during fog, snow, sleet, hail, rain, night, and you name it. So there are a lot of challenges that still needs to be solved, but we're gradually getting to the point where we have reliable solutions, where we have viable solutions, and then it's just a question of rolling it out. So then we go into the cycle times for the platforms that goes into the vehicles, but it's going to be there. I think it will be there before the end of the decade.
Ah, interesting. So where is most of the compute power going to be for automotive? Is it going to be on the edge, in the car, or in the cloud, or a combination thereof?
If you look at autonomous driving, it needs to be in the vehicle, in the central compute unit. Everyone is going to a central compute, the zonal architecture, where you put a scalable central compute unit that, depending on the control requirements, you will have either more or less compute power in it. Now, that might be construed as being on the edge as well. If you look at the cockpit, This is an interesting area as well, because the cockpit, you can see a combination of vehicle, edge, and cloud. Especially if you start putting generative AI to work here, put intelligence into voice assistance in the vehicle and have this also involved in supervising the drivers and the passengers, so that you can optimize the comfort of the people in the vehicle. You can also optimize the safety and the security of the drive. But for sure, most of the compute needs to be residing in the vehicle at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to be driving supercomputers in the not too distant future. So we talked about what's going to happen years from now, but what about in 2024? What advancements do you see happening? You know, what type of things will you be doing this year?
In our case, we are finishing the design of our chips. So we are expecting silicon probably beginning of next year of our Jotun 8, which is the generative AI device, 6.4 petaflops. So our focus is, I would say, first and foremost on generative AI. Autonomous driving will ride on the development of the Gen AI for us. If we look at the market in general, as I said, generative AI is driving pretty much everything. If you can provide hardware today, it will be used, it will be soaked up, but not just by the big guys, people like Google, Microsoft, and others, but also by people doing high-performance computing, on-premises computing. Everything is moving towards Gen AI, specialized Gen AI, generic Gen AI. So I think this year is going to be the year of generative AI.
Great. And how do customers engage with your company? I've been on your website. It's vsora.com, vsora.com. You have use cases. You have a lot of information there. Is that generally how people contact you?
First contact might be through the website, and I encourage people to visit it. We update it regularly. But most of the business is, I would say, word of mouth. We've been in the industry for a very long time, and typically we have built up our contact net around the world. I'm happy to take anyone's call. So firstname.lastname@visora.com or info@visora.com, and I'll take care of it. And we take it from there. We try to be as easy to get to as possible.
Great. Pleasure meeting you, Jan, and thank you for the information. And hopefully we can touch bases again later on this year and see how you're doing.
Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate the time and enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.